Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Let me don't go up on Shri Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. No one wants to go up on Jaya. They all go, Jaya Shri Krishna. Jaya Shri Krishna. Yeah, but he is the Madanga teacher, not the mantra teacher.
Yes, that's all it is now.
Yeah, it's just like our Sri Vijayal was also changed because someone came from somewhere else. The Sri Vijayal tune also changes because people come from somewhere else. How are you guys going to be leaders if anyone that comes along will change? Section 63. Vaishampayana said, there was the king of the name of Uparichara. That monarch was devoted to virtue. He was very much addicted also to hunting. That king of the Pauravar race, called Vasu, conquered the excellent and delightful kingdom of Chedi under instructions from Indra. Some time after, the king gave up the use of arms, and dwelling in a secluded place, retreat, practiced the most severe austerities. The gods with Indra at their head once approached the monarch during this period, believing that he sought the headship of the gods by those severe austerities of his. The celestials, becoming objects of a sight, by soft speeches, succeeded in winning him away from his ascetic austerities. The gods said, O Lord of the earth, thou shouldest take care so that virtue may not sustain a diminution on earth. Protected by thee, virtue itself will in return protect the universe. And Indra said, O king, protect virtue on earth attentively and rigidly. Being virtuous, thou shalt for all time behold in afterlife many sacred regions. And although I am of heaven and thou art of earth, yet art thou my friend and dear to me. And O king of men, dwell thou in that region on earth which is delightful and aboundeth in animals, is sacred, full of wealth and corn. Corn here means grains. Is well protected like heaven, which is of agreeable climate, graced with every object of enjoyment and blessed with fertility. And O monarch of Chedi, this thy domain is full of riches, of gems and precious stones, and containeth besides much mineral wealth. The cities and towns of this region are all devoted to virtue. The people are honest and contented. They never lie even in jest. Sons never divide their wealth with their fathers, and are ever mindful of the welfare of their parents. Lean cattle are never yoked to the plow or the cart or engaged in carrying merchandise. On the other hand, they are well fed and fattened. In Chedi, the four orders are always engaged in their respective vocations. Let nothing be unknown to thee that happens in the three worlds. I shall give thee a crystal car, which as the celestials alone are capable of carrying the car through midair. Thou alone of all mortals on earth, riding on that best of cars, shalt also give thee shalt course through mid-air like a celestial endued with a physical frame. I shall also give thee a triumphal garland of unfading lotuses, with which on, in battle, thou shalt not be wounded by weapons. And, O king, this blessed and incomparable garland, widely known on earth as Indra's garland, shall be thy distinctive badge. Right, so Indra is always worried when someone is able to successfully perform austerities very severely. And so then he came with all these celestials, and then try to dissuade him from his austerities. Two reasons. One is that he was worried about him going to heaven, but at the same time, as everything goes nicely for the universe, if things go nicely on earth, right? So he's saying that already his kingdom is going very nicely, right? These are all the details of what is a good kingdom, right? This is good management here. Like that. It's full of wealth, like that. Everything is very auspicious. And that, then people even in jest don't lie, right? They have other means so that they're going to, you know, engage themselves. And they never split up the families or deal improperly. And and all the four orders are engaged properly in their respective duties. So then this, you know, then is a proper kingdom. Everything's going nice. That's proper. Then you can say, this is what you're supposed to look for. So then, then along with that, for him to give up this austerities and take up, again, his duties as a kshatriya, then he gave him a car, right, a crystal car for flying around the universe that he could go in his own body. So only the celestials can fly in these cars, but he was able to go in this car even despite having a mortal frame. Right? Means it's not that they can't ride in a car if someone else is operating it. It's only the celestials can operate these cars, right? But he's able to operate. Right, and crystal, you know, crystal is clear, right? So that means you'll get a good view of everything, right? Because you can see straight through the car, right? So all that people will see going through the sky is some guy, right? They're not going to even see the chariot, like that. And they gave him a garland that by wearing he'd never be wounded by weapons, right? And it won't fade. It's like the demigods. Garland, and that will be, he'll be known for this, right?
Yes?
Okay, so saying that these verses about how the earth and everything is abundant with all opulences said is from the Bhushupta. It's the same. That's what he says, is whatever is in the Veda is here. But there'll be some things here that are not even in the Vedas. The slayer of Rita, Indra, also gave the king for his gratification a bamboo pole for protecting the honest and the peaceful. After the expiry of a year, the king planted it in the ground for the purpose of worshipping the giver thereof, namely Indra. From that time forth, O monarch, all kings following Vasu's example began to plant a pole for the celebration of Indra's worship. After erecting the pole, they decked it with golden cloth and scents and garlands and various ornaments. And the god Vasava is worshipped in due form with such garlands and ornaments. And the god, for the gratification of the illustrious Vasu, assuming the form of a swan, came himself to accept the worship thus offered. Right? So then, Upadichara Vasu, then he started this worship. Other kings followed. And Indra used to come to Vasu's worship as in the form of a swan to accept the worship, right? So they were, you know, very, very close. And the god, beholding the auspicious worship thus made by Vasu, that first of monarchs, was delighted and said unto him, those men and king also, who worship me and joyously observe this festival of mine, like the king of Chedi, shall have glory and victory for their countries and kingdom. Their cities shall also expand and be ever in joy. King Vasu was thus blessed by the gratified Magavat, the high-souled chief of the gods. Right? Mag is the clouds, and Magavat means the one who has clouds, right? Like Bhagavan, one who has Bhaga. So he is Magavat. The high-souled chief of the gods. Indeed, those men who caused this festivity of chakra to be observed with gifts of land, of gems and precious stones, become respected of the world. And King Vasu, the lord of Chedis, knowing boons, bestowing boons and performing great sacrifices, and observing the festivity of chakra, was much respected by Indra, and from Chedi he ruled the whole world virtuously. And for the gratification of Indra, Vasu, the lord of the Chedis, observed the festivity of Indra. And Vasu had 5 sons of great energy and immeasurable prowess. And the emperor installed his sons as governors of various provinces. And his son Brihadratha was installed in Magadha, and was known by the name of Maharatha. Another son of his was Pratyagraha, another Kushamva, who was also called Manivahana, and the 2 others were Mavela and Yadu, of great prowess and invincible in battle. Right, so the Yadu dynasty, here is the Yadu. Okay, does that make sense? These, O monarch, were the sons of that royal sage of mighty energy. And the 5 sons of Vasu planted kingdoms and towns after their own names, and founded separate dynasties that lasted for long ages. And when King Vasu took his seat in that crystal car with the gift of Indra and coursed through the sky, he was approached by Gandharvas and Apsaras, the celestial singers and dancers. And as he coursed through the upper regions, he was called Uparichara. Right? Upari means up. So Uparichara meant he was always up. So he was always seen flying around. And by his capital flowed a river called Shuktimati. And that river was once attacked by a life-endued mountain called Kolahala. Right? So the river's there and there's a mountain next to it. So the mountain attacked the river. The river was attacked by the mountain called Kolahala, maddened with lust. And Vasu, beholding the foul attempt, struck the mountain with his foot. And by the indentation caused by Vasu's stamp, the river came out of the embraces of Kolahala. But the mountain begat on the river 2 children that were twins. And the river, grateful to Vasu for his having set her free from Kolahala's embrace, gave them both to Vasu. And the son was made the generalissimo to his forces by Vasu, that best of royal sages, and giver of wealth, and punisher of enemies. And the daughter called Girika was wedded by Vasu. Girika means what? You know, like what? Small mountain, right? And Girika, the wife of Vasu, after coming of age, purified herself by a bath, represented her state under her lord. But that very day the Pitris of Vasu came under that best of monarchs and foremost of wise men and asked him to slay deer for their Shraddha. And the king, thinking that the command of the Pitris should not be disobeyed, went a hunting, thinking of Girika alone, who was gifted with great beauty and like under her, like under Shri herself. And the season being the spring, the woods within which their king was roaming had become delightful unto the gardens of the king of the Gandharvas himself. There were Ashokas and Champaks and Chutas and Atimukas in abundance. And there were Punagas and Karnikaras, Valakas and Divya Patalas and Narikelas, Chandanas, Arjunas and similar other beautiful and sacred trees, resplendent with fragrant flowers and sweet fruits. And the whole forest was maddened by the sweet notes of the kokil and echoed with the hum of maddened bees. And the king became possessed with desire, and he saw not his wife before him. Maddened with desire, he was roaming hither and thither. Then he saw a beautiful ashok decked with dense foliage, its branches covered with flowers. And the king sat at this ease in the shade of this tree, and excited by the fragrance of the season and the charming odors of the flowers around, and excited also by the delicious breeze, the king could not keep his mind away from the thought of the beautiful Girika. And beholding that, a swift hawk was resting very near to him. The king, acquainted with the subtle truths of Dharma and Artha, went unto him and said, "Amiable one, carry thou this seed for my wife Girika, and give it unto her. Her season hath arrived." The hawk, swift of speed, took it from the king and rapidly coursed through the air. While thus passing, the hawk was seen by another of his species. Thinking that the first one was carrying meat, the second one flew at him. The two fought with each other in the sky with their beaks. While they were fighting, the seed fell into the waters of the Jamuna. And in those waters dwelt an apsara of the higher rank, known by the name of Adrika, transformed by a Brahmana's curse into a fish. As soon as Vasu's seed fell into the water from the claws of the hawk, Adrika rapidly approached and swallowed it at once. That fish was, some time after, caught by the fishermen, and it was the 10th month of the fishers having swallowed the seed. From the stomach of that fish came out a male and female child of human form. The fishermen wondered much and wended to the king Upadichara, for they were his subjects, and told him all. They said, "O king, these two beings of human shape have been found in the body of a fish." The male child among the two was taken by Upadichara. The child afterwards became the virtuous and truthful monarch Matsya. After the birth of the twins, the apsara herself became freed from her curse, for she had been told before by the illustrious one who had cursed her that she would, while living in her pishchatoral form, give birth to two children of human shape, and then would be freed from the curse. Then, according to these words, having given birth to the two children and been killed by the fishermen, she left her fish form and assumed her own celestial shape. The apsara then rose up on the path trodden by the siddhas, the rishis, and the charanas, right? Because through the space, there's different paths. We don't see them. But there's paths through which all these different demigods, then they travel, right? The fish-smelling daughter of the apsara in her pischatoral form was then given by the king unto the fishermen, saying, "Let this one be thy daughter." That girl was known by the name of Satyavati. Right? So Satyavati was technically the daughter of Upadichara Vasu. Right? Like that. And because she was born of a fish, so naturally then she smelled like fish. Right? Like that. And the fisherman was, you know, didn't mind because all he does all day is spend time with fish. Yes.
Maharshi,
King Matsya,
is it the same Virat?
Is Matsya the same Virat? Virat? Oh no, that's the kingdom of Matsya. That's not the king Matsya. Maybe the kingdom came after him, I'm not sure. Okay. And gifted with great beauty and possessing every virtue, she of agreeable smiles, owing to contact with fishermen, was for some time of the fishy smell. Wishing to serve her foster father, she plied a boat on the waters of the Jamuna. Right? Right? So she was technically a Kshatriya, right? But, you know, she was given to the fisherman because he had found, you know, found them. So the son became the, you know, was placed there. He was managing the army. And then the daughter went with the fisherman. And to serve the father, then she would ply a boat, right? They would take a boat back and forth across the Jamuna, right? When people would come and they would take it back and forth. While engaged in this vocation, Satyavati was seen one day by the great Rishi Parasara in the course of his wanderings. As she was gifted with great beauty, an object of desire, even with an anchorite and of graceful smiles, the wise sage, as soon as he beheld her, desired to have her. And that bull amongst munis addressed the daughter of Vasu, of celestial beauty and tapering thighs, saying, "Accept my embraces, O blessed one." Satyavati replied, "O holy one, behold a rishi standing on either bank of the river. Seen by them, how can I grant thy wish?" Thus addressed by her, the ascetic thereupon created a fog, which existed not before, and which enveloped the whole region in darkness. And the maiden, beholding the fog that was created by the great Rishi, wondered much. And the helpless one became suffused with the blushes of bashfulness. And she said, O Holy One, note that I am a maiden under the control of my father. O Sinless One, by accepting your embraces, my virginity will be sullied. O best of Brahmanas, my virginity being sullied, how shall I, O Rishi, be able to return home? Indeed, I shall not then be able to bear life. Reflecting upon all this, O illustrious one, do that which should be done. That best of Rishis, gratified with all she said, replied, Thou shalt remain a virgin, even if thou grantest my wish. And, O timid one, O beauteous lady, solicit the boon that thou desirest. O thou of fair smiles, my grace hath never before proved fruitless. Thus addressed, the maiden asked for the boon that her body might emit a sweet scent instead of the fish odor that it had. And the illustrious Rishi thereupon granted that wish of her heart. Having obtained her boon, she became highly pleased, and a season immediately came, and she accepted the embraces of that Rishi of wonderful deeds. And she thenceforth became known amongst men by the name of Gandavati, the sweet-scented one. And men could perceive her scent from a distance of a yojana, means for 8 miles. Right? Not bad. And for this she was known by another name, which was Yojana Gandha. It means it could be, it had fragrance for a yojana. One who scatters her scent for a yojana all around. Means 16 miles across you could smell, because 8 miles each direction, right? That means if she was in New York, that means the whole of Manhattan could smell it, right? Okay. And Satyavati, gratified with having obtained the excellent boon, in consequence of which she became sweet-scented, and her virginity remained unsullied, conceived through Parasara's embraces. And she brought forth the very day, on an island in the Jamuna, the child begot upon her by Parasara, and gifted with great energy. And the child, with the permission of his mother, set his mind on asceticism, and he went away saying, As soon as thou rememberest me, when occasion comes, I shall appear unto thee. And it was thus that Vyas was born of Satyavati through Parasara. And because he was born on an island, he was called Dvaipayana, Dvaipa, or island born. And the learned Dvaipayana, beholding that virtue is destined to become lame by one leg each yuga, she having 4 legs in all, and that the period of life and the strength of men followed the yugas, and moved by the desire of obtaining the favor of Brahman, and the Brahmanas arranged the Vedas, means wanting to get the blessing of the Lord and or Brahma and the Brahmanas. Then he compiled all the Vedas, all the Vedic literatures. And for this he came to be known, called Vyas, the arranger or compiler. The boon-giving great one then taught Sumanta, Jaimini, Pila, his son Sukha, and Vaishampayana, the Vedas, having the Mahabharat for their fifth. And the compilation of the Bharata was published by him through them separately. Yes. Was the Vedas known to him when he was born? That I'm not sure. But in any case, he studied them, you know, and then compiled them. Because the point is, he was born the same day he's born, he grew up to, you know, full to adulthood, and then, you know, telling his mother, whenever you think of me, I will come. And then he left and went to perform austerities and compile the Vedas. So, could be, yes.
But the moon is mentioned that there are the 67 philosophies, actually, the 67 philosophies were mentioned there. And also, actually, he had all the disciples who were in charge of the Vedas. Mm-hmm. Six systems and basically everything else, all the Puranas and
Yeah, no, it's mentioned that these disciples, they were all the ones that started up the six systems. You know, from his teachings, that's what they understood. Also, then they had their in charge of the various books, the Vedas and Puranas and that. Like Jaimini, then he was in charge of the Samaveda, but he started the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Right? Like that. Vyas, then he spoke, how do you say, the Uttara Mimamsa. Then Bhishma, of great energy and fame and immeasurable splendor, and sprung from the component parts of the Vasus, was born in the womb of Ganga through King Shantanu. And there was a rishi of the name of Animandavya, of great fame, and he was conversant with the interpretations of the Vedas, was illustrious, gifted with great energy, and of great reputation, and accused of theft through innocence. Though innocent, the old rishi was impaled. He thereupon summoned Dharma and told him these words: "In my childhood I had pierced a little fly on a blade of grass. O Dharma, I recollect that one sin, but I cannot call to mind any other. I have, however, since practiced penances 1,000-fold. Hath not that one sin been conquered by this my asceticism?" Right? In other words, this, what is it? Animandavya. Right? He was sage doing so much austerities, but he was accused of theft, though he was innocent. And so then he went to, and then because of that he was impaled on a stake. So he, in this case, he called Yamaraj and then said, "What is this? When I was a small boy, I took a blade of, you know, kusa grass, which is sharp, and poked a fly. But since then I've done so much austerities in that, so that doesn't counteract this? What's going on here?" And because the killing of a brahmana is more heinous than that of any other living creature, therefore hast thou, O Dharma, been sinful. Right? In other words, he killed a fly, but killing a brahman is worse. So he's saying it doesn't match. Thou shalt therefore be born on earth in the Shudra order, and for that curse, Dharma was born a Shudra in the form of the learned Vidura, a pure body who was perfectly sinless. And the Sutra was born of Kunti in her maidenhood through Surya. And he came out of his mother's womb with a natural coat of mail, and face brightened by earrings. And Vishnu himself, of worldwide fame, and worshipped of all the worlds, was born of Devaki through Vasudeva, the benefit of the three worlds. He is without birth and death, of radiant splendor, the creator of the universe and lord of all. Right? So see here, Mahabharata is pointing out his supremacy, but it's people somehow or another don't catch it. You know? No, that was Narad Muni's complaint. Right? Is even though it's there, people won't catch it. They'll see everything else because it's such a so much more volume of it. They won't notice it. Indeed, he who is the invisible cause of all, who knoweth no deterioration, who is the all-pervading soul, the center around which everything moveth, the substance in which the three attributes of sattva, rajas, and tamas co-inhere, the universal soul, the immutable, the material out of which hath been created this universe. Right? In other words, it's from him the universe is created. So that's why nothing actually is not him. We think it's not him. That's what's Maya. Right? Does that make sense? But if we know it's him, then we don't exploit it. Right? Service is rendered. The invisible dweller in every object, progenitor of this universe of five elements, who is united with the six high attributes, is the pranava or om of the Vedas, is infinite, incapable of being moved by any force save his own will, illustrious, the embodiment of the mode of life called sannyas, who floated on the waters before the creation, who is the source whence hath sprung this mighty frame, who is the great combiner, the uncreate, the invisible essence of all, the great immutable, benefit of those attributes that are knowable by the senses. Means, in other words, anything that can be known by the senses, the benefit of that is to go to the Supreme Lord. Who is the universe itself, without beginning, birth, and decay, is possessed of infinite wealth, that grandsire of all creatures became incarnate in the race of the Andaka Vrishnis for the increase of virtue. Right, so he said so many things here, it will be very hard to not understand that Krishna's got some special position. Right? So it wasn't just one or two sentences here, it's a whole paragraph. You can hear it back there? A little bit. Oh, these don't work? Speaker doesn't work? Yes? No? Okay. Now you can hear it. Okay. And Satyaki and Kritavarma, conversant with the use of weapons, possessed of mighty energy, well versed in all branches of knowledge, and obedient to Narayana in everything, and competent in the use of weapons, had their births from Satyaka and Hridika, and the seed of the great Rishi Bharadvaj of severe penances, kept in a pot, began to develop, and from that seed came Drona, the pot born. And from the seed of Gotama, fallen upon a clump of reeds, were born two that were twins, the mother of Ashwataman, called Kripi, and Kripa of great strength. Then was born Drishtadumna of the splendor of Agni himself, from the sacrificial fire, and the mighty hero was born with bow in hand for the destruction of Drona, born with a bow. And from the sacrificial altar was born Krishna, Draupadi, resplendent and handsome, of bright features and excellent beauty. Then was born the disciple of Prahlad, namely Nagnajit, and also Suvala. And from Suvala was born a son, Shakuni, who, from the curse of the gods, became the slayer of creatures and the foe of virtue. And under him was also born a daughter, Gandhari, the mother of Duryodhana. And both were well versed in the arts of acquiring worldly profits. And from Krishna was born in the soil, and from Krishna was born in the soil of Vichitravirya, Dhritarashtra. Oh, okay, Krishna, meaning here Krishna, meaning Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, right? Because his name is Krishna. But he's also known as Dvaipayana because he's born on an island, right? So you have Krishna, son of Vasudeva, and you have Dvaipayana Krishna, right? So here, then saying, and from Krishna, Vyas, was born in the soil of Vichitravirya, right? Because the wife is known as the field or the soil, right? So then, how you say, in the field, when the seed is planted, then you get a result, right? So when you say the soil of this person or the field of this person, then in this case it means his wife. Does that make sense? Because it makes it very clear. The point is why the Vedas will use this example of the field and the seed is because who owns the field is who owns the result of that, of the field. Does that make sense? You own a field. If from your neighbor's land seed from there blows over onto your land and grows, then whatever comes of that is yours. He can't claim, well, that's my seed. No, that doesn't matter. Whose seed it is doesn't matter. It's whose field it is, that's what matters. Does that make sense? So whoever is the husband of the woman, it doesn't matter who fathered the child is his. Does that make sense? So then there's no one can fight over that. The child is his. Does that make sense? So it's like, technically, Karna is Pandu's son. Right? We'll say he's the son, you know, coming from the sun god because he's special. But technically, as far as his position, he's Pandu's son. Does that make sense? Like that. And from Krishna was born in the soil of Achitravirya, Dhritarashtra, the lord of men, and Pandu of great strength. And from Dwaipayana also born in the Shudra caste, the wise and intelligent Vidura, conversant with both religion and profit, and free from all sins. And unto Pandu by his two wives were born five sons like the celestials. The eldest of them was Yudhishthira, and Yudhishthira is born of the seed of Dharma, Yama, the god of justice, and Bhima of the wolf's stomach was born of Marut, the god of wind. And Dhananjaya, blessed with good fortune and first of all wielders of weapons, was born of Indra. Right? But you see it says he had they're his sons, though there's someone else's. Right? And Nakula and Sahadev, of handsome features, and ever engaged in the service of their superiors, were born of the twin Ashwinis. And under the wise Dhritarashtra were born 100 sons, namely Duryodhana and others, and another named Yuyutsu, who was born of a Vaishya woman. Right? So Yuyutsu, there's the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, right? The brothers of Duryodhana. So these are the bad ones. Then in the palace, there was a maidservant of a Vaishya background. So Dhritarashtra had a son by her, that's Yuyutsu. So that I remember, he fought on the side of the Pandavas. Right? But because he is not born of the royal line, then he would not be sitting on the throne. Right? So he went back after the war to take care of Dandari and like this. But he didn't take up the throne. And amongst those 101, 11, namely 101, one being the daughter. 11, namely Dushasana, Dushaha, Dwarmarshana, Vikarna, Chitrasena, Vivinsati, Jaya, Satyavrata, Purumitra, and Yuyutsu, by a Vaishya wife, were all Maharatas, great Kara warriors. Right? So those 10 were Maharatas. Oh no, here in this case, amongst those 101, one meaning Yuyutsu. This is not referring to the daughter. And Abhimanyu was born of Subhadra, the sister of Vasudev through Arjuna, and was therefore the grandson of the illustrious Pandu. And the five Pandavas were born five sons by their common wife, Panchali. And these princes were all very handsome and conversant with all branches of knowledge. From Yudhishthira was born Prithivindya, from Vrikodara, Sutasoma, from Arjuna, Shutakirti, from Nakula, Satanika, and from Sahadev, Shutasena, a great prowess. And Bhima in the forest begot on Hidimba, a son named Ghatodkacha. And from Draupadi was born a daughter, Shikandin, or from Drupad was born a daughter, Shikandin, who was after transformed into a male child, right? So this Shikandi is actually the brother of Dhristadyumna and Draupadi. Right? Most of the time you don't put them together, but they're... Because she was born a daughter and was transformed into a son. Shikandi was so transformed into a male by a yaksha named Stuna from the desire of doing her good. In that great battle of the Kurus came hundreds of thousands of monarchs for fighting against one another. After the names of the innumerable host, I am unable to recount even in 10,000 years. I have named, however, the principal ones who have been mentioned in this history. So all these names that have been mentioned in this chapter then are all the prominent personalities, you know, in the Mahabharata. So now, section 64. Janamejaya said, O Brahmana, those thou hast named and those thou hast not named, I wish to hear of them in detail. Right? Now, what is their stories? As also of other kings by thousands. And, O thou of great good fortune, it behooveth thee to tell me in full the object of which those Maharatas equal unto the celestials themselves were born on earth. So in other words, why were they born? There must be some reason for it. Right? Because the Lord in his pastimes is there, so why were these personalities all born? Now we go back in time. Vaishrampayana said, "It hath been heard by us, O monarch, that what thou askest is a mystery even to the gods," right? Why everybody has been born. "I shall, however, speak of it unto thee after bowing down to the self-born." The son of Janamadagni, Parasuram, after 21 times making the earth bereft of Kshatriyas, wended to that best of mountains, Mahindra, and there began his ascetic penances. And at that time, when the earth was bereft of Kshatriyas, the Kshatriya ladies, desirous of offspring, used to come, O monarch, to the Brahmanas, and Brahmanas of rigid vows had connection with them during the womanly season alone, but never, O king, lustfully and out of season. And Kshatriya ladies by thousands conceived from such connection with Brahmanas. Then, O monarch, were born many Kshatriyas of greater energy, boys and girls, so that the Kshatriya race might thrive. And thus sprang the Kshatriya race from Kshatriya ladies by Brahmanas of ascetic penances. And the new generation, blessed with long life, began to thrive in virtue. And thus were the four orders, having Brahmanas at their head, re-established. And every man at that time went into his wife during her season, and never from lust and out of season." Right? Means, in other words, there was no illicit. You know, I mean, you didn't have Varna Shankara, right? You didn't have improperly born children. "And, O bull of the Bharata race, in the same way, other creatures also, even those born in races of birds, went in unto their wives during the season alone. And, O protector of the earth," right? So the human life, when it's done so virtuously, then even the animals start to follow the example set by the humans. Right? It's not that they don't watch the humans and appreciate. It's just that nowadays humans are a bit more of a threat, so they stay away. Right? "And, O protector of the earth, hundreds of thousands of creatures were born, and all were virtuous and began to multiply in virtue, all being free from sorrow and disease. And, O thou of the elephant's tread, this wide earth, having the ocean for her boundaries, with her mountains and woods and towns, was once more governed by the Kshatriyas. And when the earth began to be again governed virtuously by the Kshatriyas, the other orders, having Brahmanas for their first, were filled with joy. And the kings, giving up all vices, born of lust and anger," like as we mentioned before, those are the things the Kshatriya has to watch is the 10 aspects of lust and the 8 of anger. Right? "And justly awarding punishments," right? That's another thing. If they're punished, they are able to punish properly, then the whole kingdom will thrive. If they don't, the kingdom itself will be destroyed. Right? So just hitting on these points, you know that they're proper. Right? All these personalities are born in virtue. That means according to Garbhadham. Then, they're avoiding all the pitfalls of lust and anger, and they're properly governing the kingdom, giving out proper justice. So that means, you know, just by these few points, everything will be proper, right? And it's under the guidance of the Brahmins. So everything's headed by the Brahmins, and it'll all work nicely. "And he of 100 sacrifices, possessed also of 1,000 eyes, beholding that the Kshatriya monarchs ruled so virtuously, poured down vivifying water showers at proper times and places, and blessed all creatures." Then, means Indra, because the kings were ruling so nicely, then Indra would shower the rain at the proper time, right? Because you shower at the proper time, just before the season for planting, then the earth is nice and soft, you can plow it properly. If it's too late, then it's muddy, you can't plow. Then, after the planting, then there's a rain so that the seeds grow. But then, while the fruit is there, if it rains, it'll grow in between. But if at the end, it shouldn't rain, because then whatever is there, the rain will knock off all the seed, right? And then we'll, right? So then but after the rain, then it rains again. After the harvest, then it rains again. Understand? So there's all these proper times, and then you know things are going properly. Yes.
Also, the proper mention Bhagavatam that it rains every, it rains regularly. Also, by the constellations and all the gems that were in the ground.
All the gems. Oh, okay. If it rains regularly, then by the constellations, the gems develop. Right? So if there's no rain, there's no gems either. Yeah, you don't hear too many gems in the desert, right? Do you? Yeah, that's true. Then, O king, no one of immature years died, and none knew a woman before attaining to age. These are all the good guys. Got that? Attaining of age means when you finish your training. And thus, O bull of the Bharata race, the earth to the very coasts of this ocean became filled with men that were all long lived. The Kshatriyas performed great sacrifices, bestowing much wealth. And the Brahmanas also studied the Vedas with their branches and the Upanishads. And, O king, no Brahmana in those days ever sold the Vedas, in other words, taught for money, or ever read aloud the Vedas in the presence of a Shudra. The Vaishyas, with the help of bullocks, caused the earth to be tilled, and they never yoked the cattle themselves. And they fed with care all cattle that were lean. Right? In other words, when the cattle, if they became, you know, some way sick or tired, then they weren't themselves used for work. They would be fed and, you know, made healthy again. Only then they would be used for working. And men never milked kine as long as the calves drank only the milk of their dames, without having taken the grass or for any other food. In other words, as long as the calf didn't eat grass, then they didn't milk the cows, right? The calf couldn't drink the milk. But once they started eating grass, then they would take the milk, right? And no merchant in those days ever sold his articles by false scales. And, O tiger among men, all persons holding to the ways of virtue did everything with eyes set upon virtue. And, O monarch, all the orders were mindful of their own respective duties. Thus, O tiger amongst men, virtue in those days never sustained any diminution. And, O bull of the Bharata race, both the kine and women gave birth to their offspring at the proper time. And trees bore flowers and fruit duly according to the seasons. And thus, O king, the Krita age having then duly set in, the whole earth was filled with numerous creatures. Right. So it's so by this, then it became like the Satya Yuga. Right? And O bull of the Bharata race, when such was the blessed state of the terrestrial world, the Asuras, O Lord of men, began to be born in kingly lines, and the sons of Diti, the Daityas, being repeatedly defeated in war by the sons of Aditi, the Celestials, and deprived also of sovereignty in heaven, began to be incarnated on the earth. And, O king, the Asuras, being possessed of great powers and desirous of sovereignty, began to be born on earth amongst various creatures, such as kine, horses, asses, camels, buffaloes, among creatures such as rakshasas and others, and among elephants and deer. And, O protector of the earth, owing to those already born and those that were being born, the earth became incapable of supporting herself. And amongst the sons of Diti and Danu, right, the Daityas and Danavas, right? Cast out of heaven, some were born on the earth as kings of great pride and insolence, possessed of great energy, they covered the earth in various shapes, capable of oppressing all foes, they filled the earth, having the ocean for its boundaries, and by their strength, they began to oppress Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras and all other creatures also. Terrifying and killing all creatures, they traversed the earth. O king, in bands of hundreds and thousands, devoid of truth and virtue, proud of their strength and intoxicated with the wine of insolence, right? And that's intoxicated by their pride. They even insulted the great rishis in their hermitages. And the earth, thus oppressed by the mighty asuras, endued with great strength and energy, and possessed of abundant means, began to think of waiting on Brahman. The united strength of the creatures, such as Sesha, the tortoise, and the huge elephant, and of many Seshas also, became capable of supporting the earth with her mountains, burdened as she was with the weight of the Danavas. And then, O king, the earth, oppressed with weight and afflicted with fear, sought the protection of the grandsire of all creatures. And she beheld the divine Brahman, the creator of the worlds who knoweth no deterioration, is Lord Brahma, surrounded by the gods, brahmanas, and great rishis, of exceeding good fortune, and adored by delightful Gandharvas and Apsaras, always engaged in the service of the celestials. And the earth, desirous of protection, then represented everything to him in the presence, O Bharata, of all the regents of the worlds. But, O king, the earth's object had been known beforehand to the omniscient, self-created, and supreme Lord. And, O Bharata, creator as he is of the universe, why should he not know fully what is in the minds of his creatures, including the very gods and asuras? O king, the Lord of the earth, the creator of all creatures, also called Isha, Shambhu, Prajapati, then spake unto her, O Brahman. And Brahman said, O holder of wealth, for the accomplishment of the object for which thou hast approached me, I shall appoint all the dwellers in the heavens. Vaishampayana continued, having said so unto the earth, O king, the divine Brahman bade her farewell. And the Creator then commanded all the gods, saying, to ease the earth of her burden, go ye and have your births in her according to your respective parts, and seek ye strife with the asuras already born there. And the Creator of all, summoning also all the tribes, the Gandharvas and Apsaras, spake unto them these words of deep import. Go ye and be born amongst men according to your respective parts in forms that ye like. And all the gods with Indra, on hearing these words of the Lord of the Celestials, words that were true, desirable under the circumstances, and fraught with benefit, accepted them. And they all, having resolved to come down on earth in their respective parts, went to Narayana, the slayer of all foes, at Vaikunth, the one who has the discus and the mace in his hands, who is clad in purple, who is of great splendor, who hath the lotus on his navel, who is the slayer of the foes of the gods, and who is of eyes looking down upon his white chest, in yoga attitude, who is the lord of the Prajapati himself, the sovereign of all the gods, of mighty strength, who hath the mark of auspicious whirl on his chest, who is the mover of everyone's facilities, or faculties, and who is adored by all the gods, him, Indra, the most exalted of persons, addressed, saying, be incarnate. And Hari replied, let it be so. Yeah. So here we see is that he talked about the glorified Brahma and his position, but then afterwards, and they say that Vishnu, he's his Lord. Okay. So then, if you have somebody who's in charge of the whole universe, then that means everybody in the universe is under them. Then, that person has someone that they're under. So then that makes them also, makes them more of the Lord of the universe than the one who is the Lord. Does that make sense? So he's giving this is the reason, because it was saying, how is it all these different persons who are being born? So he said even the demigods are confused with this. And so he explains that the earth, after Parasuram killed all the Kshatriyas, then the children born of the Kshatriya women by the exalted Brahmanas then became the new Kshatriyas. So everything was going nicely. And everything was very prosperous and wealthy. So then the demons, then being unable to take over heaven, decided to come to the earth because it was very nice from all these virtuous kings and virtuous citizens. then they getting in power, then they started to oppress everyone else. Right? So then having oppressed everyone else, then the earth being burdened then went to Brahma. Then Brahma and the others went to Lord Vishnu. Right? So an arrangement was made that they would all, the demigods, would take birth on the earth in all these different situations so that they could defeat the demons that were already here. Right? So then this is the reason all these personalities are taking birth. Right? Does that make sense? Vaishampayana said, then Indra had a consultation with Narayana about the latter's descent on earth from heaven with all the gods according to their respective parts, and having commanded all the dwellers in heaven, Indra returned from the abode of Narayana, and the dwellers in heaven gradually became incarnate on earth for the destruction of the asuras and for the welfare of the three worlds. And then, O tiger amongst kings, the celestials had their births according as they pleased, and the races of Brahmarshis and royal sages. And they slew the Danavas, Rakshasas, Gandharvas, and snakes, other man-eaters, and many other creatures. And O bull in the Bharata race, the Danavas, Rakshasas, and Gandharvas, and snakes could not slay the incarnate celestials, even in their infancy, so strong they were. Right? So they must have tried. Right? They couldn't do it. Janamejaya said, I desire to hear from the beginning of the birth of the gods, the Danavas, the Gandharvas, the Apsaras, men's, Yakshas, and Rakshasas. Therefore it behooveth thee to tell me about the births of all the creatures. Right? So now he's given the general, this is why they're there, but now he wants to know specifically, you know, who's who, what went on. Vaishampayana said, indeed I shall, having bowed down to the self-create, tell thee in detail the origin of the celestials and other creatures. Self-created means that means unto the Lord, right? Unto Lord Vishnu. He's the only one that's, no one's created, right? Even Brahma, he's unborn, but he's created, right? So when they talk about Aja or Swayambhu, then that can refer to Lord Brahma, it can also refer to Vishnu. But to say self-created, Brahma's not self-created, he's created by Vishnu. So that means it can only mean Vishnu. Yeah? Yeah. I shall tell thee in detail the origin of the celestials and other creatures. It is known that Brahman hath 6 spiritual sons. This is Lord Brahman. Marichi, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, and Kratu. And Marichi's son is Kasyapa. And from Kasyapa have sprung these creatures. Unto Daksha, one of the Prajapatis, were born 13 daughters of great fortune. The daughters of Daksha are, O tiger among men, and prince of the Bharata race. Aditi, Diti, Danu, Kala, Danayu, Sinika, Krodha, Pradha, Vishva, Vinata, Kapila, Muni, and Kadru. The sons and grandsons of these, gifted with great energy, are countless. From Aditi have sprung the 12 Adityas, who are the lords of the universe. And, O Bharata, as they are according to their names, I shall recount them to thee. They are Dhatri, Mitra, Aryama, Chakra, Varuna, Anksha, Bhaga, Vivasvat, Usha, and Savitri, Tvastri, and Vishnu. The youngest, however, is superior to them all in merit. Means youngest is Vamanadeva, so he's one of the 12 Adityas. So that means he sits on the chariot, you know, for the sun god's chariot to go, and he manages all the affairs of the, you know, the sun, the department of the sun. Right. So we have that Aryama, you always hear about him, so he's also Mitra, Aryama, Varuna, he's also one of the sun gods. Right. Diti had one son called Hiranyakashipu, and the illustrious Hiranyakashipu had five sons, all famous throughout the world. The eldest of them was Prahlad. Okay, so I think we'll end here, because I'll give a long list of names, and then we'll go over time. So today is Tuesday, right? So we'll continue on Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.